Hi, this is Leonard Peikoff here to apply Ayn Rand's philosophy of objectivism to your real-life questions. My responses cover subjects of general interest, such as human relationships, career, and morality, but not current politics. For the present, my answers are posted every other week on Mondays, and Dr. Yaron Brook answers questions on current events on the alternate Mondays. You can listen to full episodes on iTunes or listen to single questions or full episodes on my website. Several years of podcasts are now easily searchable by topic or keywords. If you have a philosophical question to ask, simply go to www.peikoff.com, and that's spelled P as in Peter, E-I-K-O-F-F, like the word off at the end, peikoff.com. And of course, feel free to follow me on Facebook and Twitter. Why did Cheryl Brooks commit suicide, and was the act justified? Well, she concluded the need for suicide on her part on all the evidence that she could identify. It climaxed in the fact that her shining hero, James Taggart, she discovered to be a nihilist killer. She concluded from the whole picture of the culture and of her husband that evil ruled the world. And that to her was unintelligible. She could not understand it. She could not live with it. She thought the universe was repulsive when this was suddenly shown to her to be what seemed to be everywhere. She did not know how to live. She had no lead to how to resolve the problem, and she couldn't bear it. So she said, I don't want to live in your world, if you remember. And she did not know enough to know in what way it could be her world. So absolutely, she was justified. If she had been more philosophical and had more sessions with Dagny, she would have been saved. So it was an error of knowledge and a very understandable one. And in that sense, within her knowledge, she was justified. Who was the worst heckler you ever had to deal with in one of your lectures? Well, I can't think of a verbal heckler, but I can think of a nonverbal situation which would qualify. In the 60s, I was lecturing at Berkeley just as a guest lecturer. You know, that was the height of the student rebels. And my lecture was on the evil of unreason, including faith, and including skepticism and those who preach uncertainty. I said that all those people were the enemy of happiness and life on earth. Now, I knew that that was a very unpopular topic at that time in that audience. And we checked, the people who were with me and I, how much security Berkeley was going to provide. And they had very little, just the normal guard. So the question was, what should I do if the situation became threatening? Which it very well could have at that college with those people at that time. And the advice I was given is fall down. In other words, go right down behind the podium where no one can shoot you or throw things at you. That was a little disconcerting. But, you know, it was theoretical. I started my talk and I got partway in it, and a very, very large guy, not just tall, but, you know, built like a super football player, at the back, got up slowly and started walking directly toward me down the center aisle. And as I was giving the talk, he was getting closer, and I started to think, is this the point where I'm supposed to fall down? Because I couldn't imagine what he was doing. Anyway, I held out until he got quite near the front. And just as I thought, okay, this is it, he sat down and listened attentively. And I found out afterwards that he couldn't see me well enough. And that's why he moved to the front. That's the closest I get to, you might not call it a heckler, but to, let's say, audience participation that seemed at least negative. A year ago, I got a job by lying, not about my qualifications, but about my age. I told the employer that I was in college to conceal the desperate years that I had been unemployed. My boss still thinks I'm 4 years younger than I am. I lied because I needed the job so badly, but I still feel guilty about it. How immoral am I, and should I come clean to him now? Well, I think the important point here is that the lie did not have any effect on your performance at the job. You didn't lie about your qualifications, your backgrounds. You were able to do the job fully. So in that sense, in relation to the job and the employer, whether you were 20 or 30 would make no difference, unless he's putting in training where every year counts and you're giving him 4 years to waste on training that's not going to be used. But assuming that that is not the case and you're 100% qualified for the job. If so, I would say just forget about the fact that you lied. If it's a sin, it is a venial sin, as the Catholics call it, not a moral sin. It's not a serious immorality in the context, because you are not lying about an essential. I would give you this analogy. Your boss wants somebody healthy, and let us say you have a continuous rash in your armpit. The doctor says, oh, it's not going to affect your health, but you do have it. But it is irrelevant to your boss. Now, these things might have been relevant when he didn't know you. If he says, oh, this guy is 4 years younger, he's not mature enough. Or this guy has a rash, who knows what's going to happen to him. But now it's 4 years later, and you have presumably endeared yourself to him, and he knows what you are, and therefore, I think these things are irrelevant. I'll give you a real-life example. Ayn Rand, many years before her death, hired a cook who came every day and prepared excellent meals, cleaned up, and then left. And one day after, 10, 15, maybe longer years, at the beginning, let me add, Eloise, the cook, told Ayn Rand that she was single, that she was unmarried. And after, say, 10 or 15 years, she one day said to Ayn Rand that she's been feeling guilty all these years because she told Ayn Rand that she was unmarried, when in fact she was married. And Ayn was very surprised, but she was not condemnatory. She wanted to know, well, why had you done it? And Eloise said, I think what she said was, I was worried that if you knew I was married, I wouldn't do a good job. I would just slap something together and run home to my husband who was waiting. But finally, I had to tell you. And Ayn's attitude was, well, you certainly never did anything like that. So obviously, the fact that you're married is irrelevant. You should have told me, but it doesn't make any difference, and she forgot it. They became actual friends, and on her deathbed, Eloise flew in from her native country to be with Ayn at the end, and Ayn wanted her there. So she certainly forgave somebody who came clean. Next, if Obama were to list his politics, epistemology, metaphysics, and ethics, similar to the way Ayn Rand did, would he still receive as much widespread support, good or bad? Well, it's an impossible situation. It could never happen. Because Obama, if you know the dim book, is D2. He is anti-ideology, as the people in the White House consistently claim. He's anti-system. They have contempt for people who believe they have all the answers, who know the nature of the universe and so on. They reject that. They say, we deal with concretes that are problems at the moment that they come up. So it's a typical nihilist rejection of ideology. So he would have nothing to say about epistemology or metaphysics. He wouldn't even take sacrifice as an absolute, because it would depend on each situation. although he would, of course, be ultimately ruled by it, he wouldn't affirm that that is his philosophy. So now let's ask this question. But suppose somehow an objectivist could get up and say, these are Obama's real metaphysics, etc. In other words, we would abstract the essence even if he denied it. How would the public around the United States react to it? Well, first of all, would the public understand what you are saying and how to evaluate it? There's a lot of issues in metaphysics and epistemology that would go right over the head of the public. And there's a lot of principles that you would be advocating to a public that does not really grasp principles. So it's a question, if he presented his views, or we presented his views, that they would either believe it or really understand it. Now you may say, well, what about if we just presented clearly the key ideas that he repudiates, the opposition to the Constitution, the right, for example, to the pursuit of happiness, the Declaration of Independence. What if he made clear to the country that he did not approve of that? Well, he wouldn't say it that clearly, but suppose that was the essence of what he said. And then he would say, because we know that we have a duty to help the poor and raise up the minorities and so on. I do not think the public would say, oh, we recoil in horror, I think they would try to combine the two, but they would not regard that as a, at least I think many of them would not regard that as a disqualifying evil, but at most would say, well, he's going a little extreme on charity, but he has a noble heart. And the same thing with free speech. Suppose you prove to the public that he's against free speech. Many of them, I don't say how many, would say, well, you know, you can't be free just all the time in your speech. What about TV before little children at night? And what about yelling fire in a crowded theater? And what about saying something harmful to minorities, etc.? So I think they have introjected enough of these modern exceptions and objections that they would not be horrified if he came out against free speech. If he came out with the total truth, 100% truth, and if he said, don't ask me for my ideas, I want to destroy everything. Ideas, the United States, you, industrial society, the totality. People would not understand that. They wouldn't believe it. So if you think that him making any speech is going to affect his public support, I don't think so. Now, that may be a negative, overly negative. It just may be because I was so surprised at the election. I mean, in my book, I forecast a negative ending, but I did not think the D2s would get that entrenched that fast. And so my view of how benevolent and how rational the American public is has dropped, and maybe half of them are, but half seem to be gone forever, as far as I can see. But this is not my field, and in fact, I should have given this question to your own. Thank you. If you want to know more about Ayn Rand's philosophy, I invite you to ask me a question. I can't answer them all, but I do read them all. Just write to leonard@peekoff.com. And if you haven't already done so, start by reading Ayn Rand's two most important novels, The Fountainhead and Atlas Shrugged. And I might add that it wouldn't hurt you to read my latest book, The Dim Hypothesis.